All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. You know, better a little bit late than never, right? I'm on my own timeline right now. Everyone needs to relax. For those who are just tuning in to this cast, or you're newer to what frequency work is, quantum psychosomatic work is, welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. This is going to be part three, kind of four and five, if you will, the final part of the exploration into what quantum sex actually means. Because if you haven't noticed a trend about masculine and feminine polarities being very up in the collective field for understanding, for embodiment, for information, for levels of in-depth, deep dives, exploratory reveries, if you will. And part of my role in all of this, or at least what I've been kind of assigned, is to demystify where everyone is getting all of this shit wildly wrong. So if you haven't noticed, we have a youth that is completely insane and utterly confused about what true intimacy is and connection. We have a masculine cohort that is completely disengaged from their ancestral DNA of being a fucking warrior, okay? A fighter, a warrior, a defender, a provider. We are wildly off course. We have a disenfranchised cohort who is incredibly confused and has been beat down by the feminine, by the wounded feminine for 50 years and have died in wars under the guise of duty and service and are tired and don't have any help or any place to heal. So how are we even going to explore quantum sex, let alone, you know, just trying to get by? Most people just trying to get by. They're trying to make their marriages work. They're trying to schedule a little bit of intimacy here and there. And it's we're kind of in a sex crisis, if you ask me. It's really an intimacy and sex crisis. When you have 30 million accounts plus of people who have signed up for accounts on OnlyFans, you have OnlyFans girls. This is what they've relegated themselves to. Us women have relegated ourselves into essentially just glorified sex work, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, and then using that to really stick it to the man and have financial freedom, yada, yada. And then you've got mostly married men who have accounts in OnlyFans. We are in a sex crisis, okay? We are in a connection crisis. And it's heartbreaking, actually. It's very, very heartbreaking. We have lowest birth rates we've had in our collective history. This is not by accident. This has been a very orchestrated directive from, again, this very nefarious, inverted, darker consciousness that's coming in and trying to hijack humanity. And they're doing that through sex and pleasure and distraction with men and through ambition and distorted ambition with women. We're going to give you your flowers, girl. All you got to do is do it like a man. I mean, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very interesting to me anymore. We have been sold a lie of productivity hacks. This is my favorite when I see performance coaches as women's. Bitch, I don't want to perform for anything. Hello? I say that lovingly, but please don't tell me you're a performance coach. I don't want to perform for anything. I've been doing that since I popped out of the womb, especially as women. You know what I want to be is I want to become. I want to feel peace in my nervous system. I want things to happen with ease. I want my field to be so magnetic and so coalescing and so potent and so in alignment with my highest and greatest good that it naturally reorganizes things, people, places around me. For my life to be exactly what I want it to be. I want to experience all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the bliss, all of it, but from an awakened state. So please don't tell me to perform anymore. Knock it off. That's not a flex. If I can just help all the performer coaches out there, perhaps you could reframe what exactly you're helping women perform. What performance are you optimizing exactly? Because we're going to have to, are you in reinforcing the collective distortion in the field that we have to do it all and do it perfectly? We have to be the perfect mother. We have to be the perfect wife. We have to be the spiritual conduit, the bridge, and do all the things, because that to me sounds like a performance. So it's one of these things that kind of ruffles my feathers the more that I unwind my own performative distortions and get really clear and honest with myself of how those things have played out in my life, which is why I witness them so much and say, please, please, I urge you to reconsider and take a look at reframing what this means for you in your life, because unraveling your nervous system around performing, perfecting, and belonging into a place that is fluid and soft and integrative and balanced is a lot more rewarding. It's actually the performance that you're looking for, which is the completely absent, the total and complete absence of performance for the total and complete acceptance of surrender and bliss and pleasure. Because hello, we cannot achieve orgasm and open up our bodies and continue to utilize what quantum sex is, what intimacy and connection is with your partner as a way to evolve and experience the divine if we are in a state of performance. Hello. Not okay. But I digress. So let us proceed and pick up where we left off from the last podcast episode about the origins of pleasure, and then moving into, dun, 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 drum roll please, title, The Science of Orgasm and Energy Exchange. So in this episode, I will delve into the physiological and the energetic, let's say, mechanisms underlining orgasm. We're going to explore how sexual pleasure extends beyond momentary gratification. So guys, listen up, into the realms of healing, evolution, and consciousness expansion. This is what we want. So jumping right in, the first aspect of the science of orgasm and energy exchange is biophotonic release, the light of orgasm. So a little background. Yes, we are light beings. So every cell in our bodies emits ultra weak light called biophotons. So they're particles of light. They are not just byproducts. They carry information of cellular communication and consciousness. So your body is quite literally a living field of light and information. Your body doesn't just produce light, it organizes itself by light and through light, which is why I talk about mitochondria, which is why I talk about mitochondria being quantum DNA, and how when you're first cleaning up and when you're first coming online, it's really important to eat more light, like things that have closer to their rawest form, that have photosynthesis a part of them, light that is generated from the sun that then converts and produces more light, fruits, vegetables, things like this. Eventually, because we were all bio-individual, that may evolve for you. But again, your body doesn't just produce light. This is important. It organizes itself through and by it. So consciousness, we perceive this reality at the speed of light because this reality is governed by the law of physics. And we can see only a very limited spectrum of information and light because this is what we have access to right now in our form of evolution. So there's physical, biological light, biophotons, and then there's energetic frequency, vibrational light. So from an energetic perspective, everything is vibration, right? Including light. Your body, emotions, thoughts, and soul all have frequencies. We know this, right? Welcome to Super Freak. And those with higher frequencies resonate closer to light. Emotions like joy, love, and curiosity, and awe, and wonder, okay, emit a frequency that can be measured as coherent energy. Think of it like radiant light in the quantum field or multiple fields, because everything is fields, constantly reorganizing itself and then creating structures within. You can think of your soul or essence as a unique signature of light, okay? So when I talk about everyone having a frequency signature, an energy signature or energetic fingerprint, it's a vibrational signature of light that emanates your form. So you're being projected through consciousness into the form, into your body, okay? The consciousness is being projected through the body to create a holographic experience. I know that sounds crazy, but when you get into holography and quantum mechanics and cosmology, these things start to make sense. So look out, okay? Just look out for more information that's coming, that will come in and come online and come into the collective field from physicists and PhDs that are talking about holographic consciousness, okay? Light as pattern. So light carries, just a little background, I talk about all of this in part one of my book. Light carries information in pattern ways. Think of lasers used in holography, for example. So whether or not you're a mystic or a scientist or a quantum theorist, you are a holographic projection of a greater consciousness encoded in light. Okay? Light encoded intelligence. So you are fractal of source light, a whole being of infinite dimensions expressed in the here and now. Let that land. You're going to have to re-listen to that because all of this is just streaming right on through, and we're going to go with it today. So the more attuned your energy, you begin healing at the speed of light. Instant insight, instant pattern shifts. You align with guidance from beyond a linear time. You quite literally, you remember you are the creator, not just creation. This is why this is so important. Okay, so a lot in esoteric teachings, metaphysical teachings, if you will, this is the new science, okay? This is a consciousness science, what I'm talking about here. But in esoteric traditions, Taoist, Vedic, Gnostic, New Age, they're going to talk about the rainbow body, the diamond light body, the light body, etc. And it's cultivated, essentially, which is all true. It's there. We all have a light body, but eventually you just become an emergence of all of those things, and they're not so separate. But when you start interacting with your light body, it's kind of a very new and exhilarating experience because you're starting to catch the multidimensional wave. So back to biophotonic release, the light of orgasm. The human body emits biophotons. It's coherent light particles that carry information. Check, we know that, right? During orgasm, there is an increased emission of biophotons, which act as a form of biocommunication within and also beyond the body. So I've talked about how our bodies merge in spirit sex, and then there's a separation afterwards. So you come together and you merge and you have this light exchange, this exchange of energy information, and then you separate out of the body and then you retain your own field. So you repixelate separately without the enmeshment. Okay, so how does that actually play out? That means that because modern quantum biology, all of these things in addition to, you know, ancient esoteric traditions all point to light as a carrier of consciousness. Orgasm transmits energy. It affects you, your partner, and the field around you. And that plays out through intense levels of presence and intense levels of embodiment. So most sexual acts right now are purely physical, with this emotional connection based on the chemicals that are being released from the brain, oxytocin, serotonin, and other connective chemicals that are being released. That gives us this attachment, and we have misaligned attachment based on the distortion patterns that we're running as to who and why we are attracted to somebody. Believe me when I say attraction is purely vibrational and patterned based until it is a reflection and a deep remembrance in order for it to be very expansive. So you utilize the act of sex, not because you want to continue to show up for your partner, because if you lose intimacy, then you become roommates. All of that is fantastic. It's also very helpful, but ultimately this is about elevation and evolution and total expansion of your consciousness. It should be an amplifier. Should be an expander and an amplifier without distortion. That's the primo, okay, the magnus opus level of this dynamic of sexual experience. The next thing, epigenetic imprinting, okay, so the genetic influence of sexual energy. This is how I told you in the first part where sex becomes meta, the more partner experience and the more sexual experiences you have, the more they leave epigenetic markers, okay, which influences gene expression and essentially potentially hereditary shifts. So if you've had, let's say, a previous incarnation where you were a saloon girl or you were forced into some type of, let's say, enslavement or sexual enslavement, or you were a courtesan, or you were a sex slave of some sort, or let's say you were very reckless as a soldier and you had lots of encounters with young ladies, and those things weren't thought of or they weren't intentional. They were just there for release and it was used very selfishly. That will be imprinted in your life now, in your awareness now. So when you clean up multidimensionally your sexual history. That's why it was very interesting when I was in recovery many, many, many years ago, we all had to do a sexual inventory because we needed to get very clear about our conduct. And it was a way physically of bringing our awareness to our behavior. And then from there, we moved into the reconciliation of the amends from said behavior. It's actually a very good process. Again, I have deep reverence for my time where I spent in the recovery community learning the mechanics, if you will, of accountability and being in a space where inventory work was taken very seriously. And I've certainly applied part of that logic to Super Freak in the pattern work and getting people to be in a sequence of here's the pattern, tracking it in the body, which I was never taught then. It was all very different in terms of column work and stuff like that. But question asking, how to identify the right question, how to identify the right pattern, how to track it in the body, and then move into the empowerment piece where you can actually start to transmute through an if protocol and thoughts, beliefs, intention, action, contrary action, etc. So, dopamine, that was the other neurochemical I was missing. So the neurochemical cocktail that's released during orgasm, oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, affects our stress resilience, our immune function, the future generational health. And so it's very easy. And it's also something that is extremely primal in our, let's say, species to have sex. It's something that should be quite enjoyable in the physical form. And if you've had a lot of abuse, it's not safe to do that. And I totally understand. So just as a sidebar, trauma-based sexual experiences versus conscious sexual engagement creates vastly different genetic and psychological imprints. And they definitely affect long-term evolution and an individual's, collective lineage. So the more that you can get very honest and take a look at the work that you've been doing and what has happened in your life, if trauma has happened to you, know that it's not your fault. It has been in the DNA and the records based on a collective aggregate of your family's history. So either you participated as an abuser in a past life and now you're getting the reciprocal experience of that, and or the family line runs deep state level, very deeply imprinted victim abuse patterns, addiction patterns, and continued abuse patterns. So self-abuse, self-abandonment, religious indoctrination. Again, I talk about abuse and addiction at length in part 2 of the book. Check that out if you haven't already. But there is a way to transcend trauma and move into a very safe and magical sexual experience. So do not fear if that is you. Another part, as a side note, when you're cleaning up sexual history and when you're moving into divinity, into divine order, I cannot stress abstinence enough as a very wonderful detoxing practice. You will reclaim and realign and almost, I'm not going to say like reversionize yourself. It's not about that. It's a coherence around your relationship with sex and your relationship with your body. It's a reassignment. It's a reorganization around what intimacy and sex looks like for you. And I'm not talking about self-pleasure. I've talked about that before, which I'll probably answer some questions about that later and touch on in a bit. But let's move on to the role of, let's say, sexual pleasure in neurochemistry and ultimately with frequency work in general. So because orgasm creates a cascade of neurochemicals that essentially create a lot of relaxation. Okay. It facilitates deep states of relaxation, emotional release, neural rewiring, etc. Dopamine and oxytocin enhance trust and bonding. These two things get released from the brain, specifically from women during sex. Men release dopamine, I believe, or something. I think it's dopamine. They release differently than women. Their endorphins that get released promote like pain relief and emotional balance. So because men have a 12-hour hormonal cycle and women have a 28 to 30-day hormonal cycle, I've said this before, men operate in two states, loaded, unloaded. That's why it's really easy to see how men can get addicted to pornography and self-pleasure, because they quite physically need the release to discharge the bullets in the gun. They are more relaxed when they're in an unloaded state. Women, because men actually, they contract and then they release. Women have a release effort and then they contract. So cold exposure is really good for men because it operates inside of their cycle. That contraction, cold to expansion, that is exactly how a men's physiological system operates. Women operate in the opposite. So if you have a lot of time distortion, ADHD, anxiety, women have found cold exposure helpful because it shocks you out of the loop that you get into the brain. But going back, so practices, when you have kind of this quantum sex practice or esoteric traditions, there was tantric and energetic sex work, essentially, where neurochemicals were released to create healing states. So they would dissolve emotional blockages, they would reset the nervous system, but that was a very different agreement in a very different state of consciousness now. If you're using sex to heal, okay, which was very 70s, sexual healing, like very, I forget what his name was, Marvin Gaye. So if you're using that to heal without a conscious thread, you're just like giving your body away. That is doing the opposite. Ideally, we're talking about nervous system regulation here, sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic nervous system needs to feel grounded and integrative and supportive. Parasympathetic nervous system will get flooded with fear and anxiety and panic if you're not in a situation physically where you're that exposed and intimate to experience the, let's say, pleasure of it. So I've talked about this before with cannabis. Cannabis has those two states. I'll do a separate podcast on that. That's why anything that you utilize, sex, cannabis, plant medicine, whatever it is as a tool, okay, it's going to affect your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems in different ways. Anything can be a tool, but if you're already fragmented and you're not coalesced and you're not coherent, it will further stall your integration process. But if you're really strong and you're integrated and you feel good and you want to utilize these things as a way to expand deeper into yourself, they can be very helpful, or dissolve very, very, very thick filters. They can be very helpful. But again, post-integrative care, mindfulness, discernment, all of that, these things will wildly move you out of time. Sex will just get you further out of time than you could even like can imagine. I mean, how many times have you been in experience if you just trace back your history and say, oh my God, it was just like, it felt like life went on forever, right? You just had these incredible experiences. These things went on all night. You got into a reverie over the weekend, or you got sucked into a vortex with this person and you didn't resurface until a week later. It's a time distortion. So your women, you literally are the portal. Okay. Your reproductive area is a portal for creation. This is an initiation when you create through the portal of creation. Men are creators. They have the electricity. They have that spark that's going to create life and bring ideas to fruition. Both are needed. So it's a masculine and feminine dynamic that is coming together, that is being amplified by the chemistry of the neurochemical releases of our brain. So of course they can create healing states and dissolve emotional blockages when you have two people that are of a very similar resonance and coherence. So let's talk about evolutionary biology really fast, since this is important. So pleasure is a driver of human potential. We talk about quantum potential around here. So we're going to talk about why pleasure is a driver for human potential, because it's the next right step. So it is not, pleasure itself is not just a biological incentive for production, which it is, but it also plays an extremely important role in brain neuroplasticity and nervous system regulation and creativity and, for men, productivity and optimization and efficiency. It plays an incredibly important role there. So if there are blocks to pleasure, which happen from a myriad of ways, then essentially it stops your growth. It hinders your learning. So sexual energy is essentially activations that point to greater states of consciousness, greater states of awareness, deeper fractals within yourself. And I guess the evolution of human intimacy in general has been shaped by two things, right? Survival needs, but also the expansion of consciousness, and through deep emotional and energetic bonds. That's why love is such a highly charged emotion. And that's what people feel when they found the one. Okay, they're looking for some solution to this like multidimensional issue that they have of feeling incomplete. And the Jerry Maguire thing, and how it's been amplified in Hollywood about how you complete me and how we're incomplete unless we have this person. And the idea of a twin flame, that you're like the other half of my soul. Oh my God, you don't want the other half of your soul. You want to be complete. Okay. You want to find somebody who's complete in themselves. And ideally, you want to meet at a completely different level of resonance so you can skip a lot of the hard shit and move right into expansion, exploration, fun experiences, creativity, sexual, sacred sexual energy, expansion, projects, you know, that life, vitality, a completely different level of experience. I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? And if you're in relationship now, if you're in partnership now and you're awakening with your partner, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's very, very rare. Okay. So moving into some of the implications. Okay. So let's consider a quantum implication, if you will, that sexual energy is a multidimensional force. So when consciously directed, and this will be my rant for the rest of this episode, when it's consciously directed, can be used for way more than procreation. And if you are on any type of anti-procreation medication, which I can touch on briefly in this podcast, or I'll touch on it again, I totally understand. However, consider natural methods of cycle syncing, and cultivating a relationship with a partner where that is not a threat. And I will leave that to you. Women, it's your bodies. You can do whatever. An unwanted pregnancy is equally as devastating as women who are desperately trying to get pregnant. So I will leave that with you, but just consider that perhaps there's some other ways to take responsibility for your body and have it not be so detrimental. So when consciously directed, it becomes a force for manifestation, for altered states of perception, for creativity. You could use self-pleasure as a manifestation tool, which I think is actually really fantastic. And if you guys want to know more about that, let me know in the comments and we'll chat. So it also, especially during orgasm, okay, it collapses wave function. It collapses like quantum wave potentials. So we're talking about creative insight, deep levels of creative insights, shifting timelines, creating new timelines, creating projections for what you guys want to create in the future. I mean, this is like very sacred stuff. So traditionally, if you look at like Taoist and Tantrum practices, especially with the cult of Isis, that whole cult of Isis, Isis in general, was a fertility kind of goddess, if you will, really understood this level of technology, this light exchange, this code switching, understood that and knew and practiced, they've long used orgasmic energy as a method to connect to higher versions of themselves, higher states of consciousness, truly channeling technology to build things like pyramids, etc., and harness life force energy for transformation. So again, this was just dropped into my awareness about how you see a lot of the like hieroglyphics, and you look at cave paintings, and you look at ancient text, and then you look at sundials all over the world from the Aztecs, and all of them have sexually over in India, in Bellini, where the Buddha was born. You'll see these images of sexual positions, and you're like, what are they trying to tell us? What exactly is this? And it's all pointing to the fact that this is ultimately a very sacred practice. So that leads us to, where did we go wrong? How has sex become so distorted? And we'll break those down now. So I kind of asked this question to my own self, right? My highest expression. And it was very clear to me that tracing the shift from sexual energy to suppression, control, and exploitation happened systemically. And it was done through religious conditioning, cultural shame, hypersexualization, and then the energetic consequences of sexual trauma and manipulation. So first, the suppression of sacred sexuality. This is a really, really important one. This is basically what I've touched on recently. So as patriarchal systems rose, many, many spiritual traditions all across the world honored sex as a divine act, or that honored sexuality as a divine act essentially was erased or demonized. You can track where sex was shameful or sinful in religion. What happened? How did that actually when did pleasure and sacred sexuality become a sin? We then transitioned from matriarchal societies where sex was linked to fertility and cosmic cycles to patriarchal structures. Now look, this is the 9-to-5. This is workers. This is essentially the beginning of the downfall of true masculinity, which led to control of sexual expression, particularly with women. And we saw a rise against this with burning of the bras early in the 60s or in the 60s and 70s. And then as that whole thing played out, the last 50 plus years of feminism, we again moving from a matriarchal system back to a patriarchal system. Now we're trying to balance and find that new zero point with both matriarchal systems and patriarchal systems. We're not moving back into the matriarchal system. We're finding a new balance. We are integrating. We are becoming a new integrative whole. So you're going to see a lot more where these things are starting to get revised. People are going to be challenging the polarity of what masculine and feminine is, and thinking that it's this or thinking that it's that. And or people will double down on their faith. So you're seeing a resurgence. Right now, it's almost like the second coming of Christ with the rise of Christianity and the rise and the desire of a more traditional experience, a traditional culture, because things have had no boundaries. We've had no masculine to set parameters, and everything is out of control, including women. And I will die on my hill. I will die on the hill of that. We are way off base with each other, with our partners, and with ourselves, and we know it, and we don't know how to let go. So all of the ancients, cult of Isis, sacred temples, where sex was seen as a form of initiation and healing, were shut down and essentially repurposed by dominant religions. Religion took over. This goes all the way back to the fall of Rome. So religious conditioning, abuse, and cultural shame So the separation of the body and spirit reinforced the idea that pleasure was dangerous. And this deep societal repression, essentially the distorted attachment and soul fragmentation that has happened, this mismatched of energetics has merged this obscure idea of sovereignty with order and obedience. So there was a deliberate attempt to separate body and spirit. And it was reinforced by the idea that pleasure was dangerous. And that left us deeply distorted and deeply fragmented at soul level. So couple that with generations of shame-based conditioning. So more distorted sexual scripts, right? Which impacted how people experience and relate to intimacy. So right now you're seeing essentially it is the burn your bras era of the 60s and 70s being amplified to the nth degree, because these waves that are coming in, these consciousness waves, are pulses of clarity. So that burn your bra, reclaiming sexual freedom and power, is happening exactly right now with women on OnlyFans. It's the same frequency. It's the same rebellion. Okay. On fighting the patriarchy, don't tell me what to do with our bodies, through OnlyFans, through hypersexuality and hypersexual power dynamics. So power dynamics and control. Sexual energy, when it's misused, can be weaponized for dominant submission or reinforcing hierarchical structures of suppression, which is exactly what we're seeing now. Hypersexualization, addiction, and the fragmentation of desire, all through media, pornography, and cultural messaging, has distorted sexual energy into something transactional rather than transcendent. Let me just say that again. Hypersexualization, addiction, the fragmentation of desire through media, pornography, and cultural messaging has distorted sexual energy into something transactional rather than transcendent. This created quite literally an energetic split. People either suppress their sexuality or engage in it without full energetic coherence, which leads to further detachment, further disassociation, further addictions, etc. So this addiction and this numbing is used as an escape and as a spiritual bypass of emotional wounding. And it becomes a coping mechanism that further entrenches trauma patterns. So those patterns are going to double down, and you're essentially unconsciously, knowingly or unknowingly choosing those abuse patterns now. So those who are born into, at the extreme level, child trafficking, have a family aggregate that run this level of patterning. Because we operate in a recursive system where everything repeats until we complete the loop, it is up to the individual that has come in to awaken from that experience, which is incredibly inverted, and close the loop. Mind you, I'll say this again, everything is a complement. So the person coming in who was sold into child trafficking or born into it or born into a cult is literally running abuse me frequencies and victim consciousness based on the generational line, the bloodline. That being likely was the abuser or the oppressor in the life before that. That's why it's been so extreme. And I know it's hard for you cognitively to get your head wrapped around this because we get so wrapped up in the emotion. But that is just the mechanics of what is happening from a higher level order. So when people want to denounce or renounce the source or God because they don't think this shit is fair, I was like, God doesn't care. Okay, God is a neutral container for experiencing itself through. We're all fractals of it. So you can't run from your behavior. You will pay now or pay later. I can't say that enough. And what I mean by pay, it's you will have to face yourself. You have to face yourself in order to access who you are and claim who you are. Those who don't run and have nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide, and you sit there and you sit with yourself in the fire over and over and over again, get unbelievable access to yourself, where you are nourished, you are intellectually stimulated at infinitum, where there's nowhere to go, there's nothing to do, but sit with yourself in total silence and be absolutely content. From that level of completion, That is where you start to magnetize things that are amplifying the high holy hell out of you. And I'm here to play that game. That's what I'm here to do. I don't want anything else than that. I've already done all the other shit. I was like, let's go. Let's fucking party. So containment of my sexual energy is incredibly important to me. Otherwise, you're going to move into energetic leakage, code manipulation. And I've seen all of this happen. I've cleaned up a lot of people who've been, well, first, if you're in this kind of casual sex era, it's fine. It's okay. It's all learning. So if you've engaged unconsciously with sexual interactions, they absolutely can siphon energy. Okay. They can reinforce karmic loops. They can implant foreign frequencies into your biofield. All of this is true. And also it can be cleaned up like that. It's not the rupture. It's the repair. What did you learn? What did you teach? Constantly hear this from higher beings, source consciousness. It's always like very beloved language. There's nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. What did you learn? Is this something you can give away in terms of information? So ultimately, it's what did you learn? And there are, you cannot be a disgrace in the eyes of the divine. You can be as messy and as imperfect as you want, and you will still have this loving energy of your highest potential, God, source, whatever it is that you want to talk about, kind of wrap around you if you're available and open to it, and you can give yourself that level of grace, okay, that quantum leap into grace into yourself, you will feel this deep sense of acceptance. Just the idea of that got me through some of my darkest times. So some of the energetic consequences, if you will, of sexual trauma and manipulation is it does create pretty deep energetic imprints, which is like what I said about trafficking. And it affects our ability to experience intimacy, safety, and ultimately self-trust. It distorts that field within us. So it also, because trauma has such a high reverb, creates distortion fields. It almost creates a separate auric field. So similar to money or pleasure or sex or things that have a lot of like quote unquote value for people here, it creates that energy has to go somewhere. So the darkness, if you will, or unconscious energy creates that structure easily. No problem. We'll give you everything you want. All you have to do is give us this. You give us access to your self-sustaining energy. We'll give you all the power, the drugs, the sex, the song ideas, money that you want. So perfect example. If you're not conscious and you're in the pursuit of money and you don't have any access to yourself and you realize how fiat it is, you can be very similar to the founder of Loom, who sold his company for almost $1 billion and nearly committed suicide. I see this all the time, all the time. No access to self. Had all the women he wanted, all the jets, all the access, no access to himself. Totally out of time, completely distorted. So trauma and this type of any kind of manipulation or a misuse of power, sexual power, specifically as women, will create distorted fields within your own biofield. And it essentially just makes it more difficult to engage in sexual connection without triggering. And so you kind of have to work hard at moving through the triggers with each other until you can drop into a safer dynamic. So further info of how sex has become distorted. Essentially, it became a tool for control. It became a moralistic programming of shame and suppression, which essentially further disconnected people from their bodies. I mean, I've been interviewing a ton of men for this next book on relationships and sexuality and masculine, feminine polarities and whatever else. And I'll tell you that the religious men that I've talked to, ones that grew up in the church, that were married very, very young, that married before sex, had shame before sex and then felt shame even in their marriage with sex. That's how disconnected they were from their bodies. It affects shame. By the way, shame and repression affects the nervous system tremendously. So there's literally sexual suppression in the nervous system. And it's how unprocessed energy creates dysfunction and distortion. So think about sexual dysfunction, sexual urge, sexual drive, sexual kink, okay? Wanting to not have a gender or not express, or you don't want to, you want to live in a binary experience or be asexual because of this level of distortion. So generational imprints of shame, essentially how epigenetics play a role in inherited sexual repressions of fear, is entirely predicated on cultural shame and repression. So the consequences of repressing desire manifests as secret addictions, fetishes, and hypercontrol. Where are you seeing yourself? Where are you identifying this in others, especially in Hollywood? Okay, these secret ways. Look at Shannon Sharpe. Look what just happened to him. Club Shay Shay. Okay. He was in negotiations with a very, very large company, $100 million Joe Rogan level deals to sell his podcast. He was big time in ESPN, completely out of line morally with a very young OnlyFans girl and got caught. Boom. You're immoral. You're out, buddy. Just like that. They all have a private life. That's why I never trust anybody with a platform. I just don't. You've sold something out. And if you haven't, it's just a matter of time. Either that you rise above and you start speaking truth and start really advocating for that, and or you're going to get taken out. Someone's going to do you a favor. It's like literally that black and white right now. Okay, so the next way it gets distorted, where has sex been distorted in our collective consciousness from the hypersexualization of it? Look at not only... So we went from repression to overexposure. Okay, we're living in polarity. So one extreme to the other. How literally, let's just look how media and consumer culture has commodified sex. Okay, we've moved from the shift from sex as an act of connection to a form of performance. Power, transaction, blackmail, lure. So right now, the pop media, okay, pop culture and pop music is dominated by women selling a version of sex, either asexual, kind of the Billie Eilish, right? Or alternative or queer. It's queer, okay? Or it's just pinup, completely over-sexualized. It's two sides of the same coin. We saw it in hip hop culture, selling tits and ass. Just another level, okay, under the guise of having a career and success, it's literally the same type of patterning that feminists and a lot of what these celebrity types are voting for is exploiting them. They're participating in their own exploitation. And it's so obvious. I was like, wow, in order for you to have a career, you have to shake your ass on stage. Man, you're really just sticking it to the man, huh? It's kind of crazy. So then you take this consumer culture that has commodified sex to the nth degree, and then you slap pornography on there, which is completely rewiring desire, physically recoding it, rewiring it. And it's the digital stimulation alters for our brain chemistry and completely distorts intimacy. And sexual energy is now basically being harvested for profit, control, and manipulation. And I think that's why a lot of people who, or more people are being driven towards having a connection with God or something that makes sense, because it feels chaotic around them. It's one way or the other. It's completely open and it's just no rules and it's poly and it's queer, gangbang sex or just nuts, right? It's over the top in your face and every single kink you can absolutely imagine, which typically is an underground type of thing. Or it's just this uber, uber Puritan virgin vibe. So you're seeing the polarity in real time and you're seeing an interest and a real desire to kind of go back to a simpler time. Well, we're not going back. We're essentially repeating a different set of patterns, right? And we're at a very, very interesting time in our evolution, in our collective evolution, where things will find a balance. All systems will break down that are not for the greatest good. Earth ain't playing. Mama done. She's like, y'all are pissing me the fuck off. It's time for y'all either to figure it out and stay and help me out, or you need to go. And it's kind of that black and white. So the technological advancements will be a consciousness that controls people who have no sovereignty, And there will be those who live in a completely different level of resonance and have the best life ever. And that's ultimately those two tracks, and then a myriad of other experiences in between are what people are picking up on as the two Earths. Oh, there's two timelines. No, there is timelines that can get distorted and disrupted at any time because the Earth essentially is spontaneously reorganizing itself in every now moment. It is a holographic projection that is very, very real in its experience. And it is creating a new version of itself in every second because it is a field. It is a field of consciousness that creates density and form and is incredibly complex. And this is a masterclass here. It is a master school of learning. And there are multiple things to take a look at and try to understand. And it is very easy just to be like, I'm too tired, I'm out. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. And I totally get it. So to recap, okay, the several points I've made around the hypersexualization, around sex being the commodification of sex, the rise of cultural shame and repression, the fall of sacred sexuality, sex becoming a tool, to the energetic consequences of sexual trauma and manipulation, how it creates imprintation on the nervous system and biofields, how it creates energy leaks and entities and energetic attachments and distortions, feed off of unprocessed trauma, and it perpetuates itself. And that's why it is very important to break the cycle. So, recognizing and releasing sexual distortions. How do we do that? How do we reclaim our sexual sovereignty, Tally? I will tell you. First, pattern work, frequency work, this level of work, okay? The addiction abuse series, grabbing a seat at the Healer's Hub, starting to understand this language, understanding that like these podcasts, you get 60 to 90 minutes of holding a frequency field that is helping you shift, right? Get into the groups, get into what you can afford, grab my free shit. I have so much of it. Identify personal and collective distortions in your own lineage, mindset, body. Dive into pattern work that is specifically related to your sexual history. Write down all of your partners. Write down exactly what happened, okay? Or just write down your partners, how you were attracted to them, the red flags that you ignored, how you capitulated and overrode your own system when you knew there were red flags, but you talked yourself out of it, and then identify the patterns, okay? I've had this partner. I just hooked up. This was a relationship. I just hooked up. I can't remember, but the pattern is I give my body away, and I don't care. So take a look at that. You're going to deprogram your societal conditioning through these deprogramming processes of being able to identify the pattern. That's the Pattern Academy, the pattern worksheet, understanding what this work is. And then you deprogram by identifying it in the body and using that same sequence, that if possibility and contrary action, contrary thoughts, behavior, and will and intent. So part of doing frequency work and quantum psychosomatic work is shaking up a lot of these patterns, ending the recursion loop at frequency level, and then that work ripples into present time, and then you confirm delete that pattern. You confirm the deletion of that pattern by stepping into contrary action. So if you normally are the type of person, when something is going awry, you move into immediate forms of fear, and you start to panic, and the nervous system goes into overdrive, and you literally do the same type of solution, or you're moving into the same strategy that you have employed in the past to keep your nervous system safe and your brain in a state of same, okay, in predictability, then you would want to break that loop. You got to break the loop. You got to step into contrary action. So if this is a helpful exercise, I will leave some questions in the notes of this episode for you guys to start looking and paying attention to your own sex histories. And like I said, it's enough just to highlight in memory when your first sexual experience was, What was sex education like for you as a child? How are you taught? What was the sex conversations that were happening in your house? How did you learn about it? Were you promiscuous? Why do you think you were promiscuous? Why do you think that you had the sexual life that you did? And let's say a sibling didn't. What were you attracted to? What role was it? Was it more siren? Was it seductress? Was it like the virgin mother? How much shame do you carry around sex? Did you really want to be older when you were younger? And that's why you positioned yourself maybe as a woman to be a little bit older than you were, so you would be attracted to older men. What was the father? How was your father available for you in your life? Did you feel safe around him? What did he teach you about desirability? What did he say about you? Did you put a lot of focus on your visuals? So it was always about being beautiful and performing. Then you take those answers and you start to look for themes. You start to look for patterns, and you're going to follow them all the way through. Download the pattern freebie in my bio and utilize the aspects of your character, okay, these actual behaviors that you engaged in, and see if they correlate to the big five, okay? Sacrifice and control, lack, addiction abuse, victim consciousness, epigenetics. I know this isn't mine. I talked to my mother about her sex history. She didn't really want to talk about it. So all the shame that she's feeling, I know that I have that imprinted on my body. So I know the epigenetic thing can be kind of tricky. Just know that all of it is. Okay, you're the latest aggregate of all of them. But use those big five and start to identify some of the corresponding behaviors as to how you've shown up in your life, specifically around sex and intimacy and self-pleasure. Where have you been holding shame? Where have you run amok? Where have you, under the guise of personal empowerment, just went nuts one summer? And it was strawberry wine, okay? So you break the cycle by identifying the patterns, tracking in the body, using that sequence to transmute it, okay? And then you reclaim your sexual sovereignty in the process, okay? It doesn't matter if the inherited trauma and cultural conditioning has shaped the way that you believe about what you believe about yourself and your behaviors. All that matters is that you're aware of the hypersexualization, the role that epigenetics has played in your life, the patterns of repression, of shame, of sexual narratives, of the distortion around pleasure. It doesn't matter about any of that. You reclaim your sexual sovereignty by bringing awareness. Okay, awareness, expansion, softness, and then you move into action through the deprogramming phase, and then you continue to love up on yourself through radical acts of self-love, and you reclaim your energy that way. You do an energetic cleansing, essentially. Frequency work is the fastest way to do that, and you understand that the sacred power of sexual energy comes, and the reclaiming of sexual powers, the reclaiming of your sexual energy as a personal power comes through reprogramming the distortions that you've inherited from cultural conditioning, trauma, and epigenetic fuckery. So it's about quantum awareness. And then you take little actions to move more into understanding feminine energy, what your rhythms are, and softening and taking things slow and honoring your body and moving into radical levels of self-respect, cleanliness, keeping your space clean, okay? Being very boundaried, meaning soft heart, firm boundaries, okay? You know where your body, your spirit body ends and begins, and you're very discerning around who you let in. And all of this becomes a practice. So let's see. I'll say this, shifting perception can happen in an instant. Just observation alone can collapse a pattern. Literally, becoming aware of the polarity that creates the magnetic attraction and the magnetism and dielectricity, those forces, just your awareness of the polarity of the forces that are creating that pattern within yourself, noticing how you will witness your father or your mother or your sister or a family member or a partner acting completely different based on just your observation of it, will shift and can end recursion patterns. Literally. You don't even have to do the frequency work. But the more frequency work you do, the more your field becomes a signal. The more coherent you are, the more people change around you. This is what I'm talking about. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about getting all your beloveds and kids and all these things sessions. I love to work on kids. I love to work on families. I work on loads of them, and some of them absolutely need sessions. You guys know intuitively I work on all your kids. However, eventually your field will get so strong that they will entrain so deeply to you that they will shift automatically, and then they will come and seek a session for themselves. So what was really interesting is I've worked on a few kids completely remotely, and they keep asking for sessions, which is awesome. That's how you know. That's how you know that the work is working. So keep at it. Keep going. Download that pattern freebie. There's, I feel like there's more I wanted to say. There's also a question that came in. So hold on. Let me take a look at that. Let's see. So first, before I get into the question, I want to just hone in on a couple of more things around, just so I want to make sure that I was clear on how you reclaim, okay, sexual sovereignty. First, through understanding your patterns, okay? And then it's through understanding the interplay between masculine and feminine forces within a relationship. How polarity creates magnetic attraction in relationship to dielectricity, and how to sustain it in long-term intimacy. Polarity is inherently imbalanced, okay? Dominant, submission, etc. You see this all happening now. The fastest way to reclaim is to see everything for what it is and then see how you feel about it in that instant. So when you recognize polarity, which is inherently imbalanced, and you're looking to reconcile it, you move from being polarized into being in synergy. It's like true energetic synergisticness, okay? Or synergy or synergisticness. I like that better. So essentially learn to cultivate and become more stable through polarity. And you will move into frequency alignment. So the new paradigm of sexual sovereignty looks like moving beyond surface level yes or no consent to literally understanding energetic consent. It's vibes. And you honor that vibe and you have no problem saying no. You don't move into a free state. You're not afraid around men. You're not afraid around women, etc. You are not afraid because you have this deep sense of who you are. Unresolved trauma and subconscious programming reconcile themselves. You are reconciling these things through your awareness, okay? Recognizing also, so a lot of this has to do with awareness, that sex is in energetic alignment versus when it carries distortions. Okay, you want to recognize when you're in an energetic alignment experience, whether or not you're dating, partnered, etc. And I can tell that many of you are moving into awareness that there has been some sexual misalignments with your partners, and or that one person will be hypersexual and the other person won't, and or that there's some work to do around intimacy. So there's somatic practices you can do, there's energetic practices you can do, and the next podcast I'm going to do is demystifying Reiki healers and energy healers as a way to do body work, because it's not the same. So the more you can physically get into your body, I'm talking about your hips, your toes, okay, the shoulder girdle, the more you can physically get into that body. Walking is good, all of that's good, but I'm really talking about things that challenge the fascia, move into the physical body. The more you physically settle into the body, the more you will inherently honor it like a temple. You will honor the form so deeply and be so grateful for it, and you will accelerate exponentially in your, let's say, awareness. And you just become attuned. You embody all of it. It is a fascinating experience, truly. Okay, so I will wrap this episode up with a question that came in, which is really good. So, orgasm. I haven't had one yet, and I'm 45. Why? Okay. So there could be several reasons why orgasm hasn't happened. A sense is there's some trauma here that has been experienced and you don't feel safe in the body. So there's energetic blockages, there's frequency distortions, there's disconnection from the body. It could be sacral imbalance, okay, which governs sexuality, creativity, pleasure, all kinds of blockages there. There's polarity imbalance, there's psychological nervous system factors, you know, fight or flight, hypervigilance, there's shame, guilt, suppressed sexuality, cultural and religious reprogramming here, our programming here. There's familial programming, my senses here, that which created a lot of shame-based blockages. There's control and surrender dynamics. Again, just by sensing this, orgasm requires a state of surrender, like fully, okay? And if control patterns exist, whether mental, emotional, or survival based, they will act as a restriction to full pleasure. This is why I'm saying the arc of the woman is to learn how to surrender and let go of control and receive pleasure. Okay. And the arc of a man is to learn how to take responsibility, how to be responsible, how to find that purpose, North Star. And so they seek to please, it is inherent. That's why it can be an incredibly exhilarating experience, provided that you are safe, you feel safe enough in your body to fully, fully let go. And you have a man, or let's say a partner, or a masculine energy around you that you feel completely protected and provided for and safe with. Doesn't matter if you're in a same sex, whatever. Again, if I have to pull myself back out of the gender and just go with energy, it is a feminine energy and a masculine energy. And love is love. So if you're in a non-hetero relationship, and you are in deep levels of love, and there's a very clear, direct expression of masculine energy, although through the opposite gender, and there's a direct feminine energy in a feminine, regardless of gender, and that relationship creates enough of a stable dynamic, like energetically, then mazel. There also could be epigenetic and ancestral imprintation here. So inherited suppression of feminine sexuality, okay? Women carry a lot of trauma. Women, like maternal line, carries a lot of trauma around body image, safety, pleasure. All of this can create subconscious resistance to sexual openness. So there's also partnership dynamics, which is what I just talked about. There's sexual energy exchange within partner dynamics. So if your partner's frequency is unstable or unstable and you don't feel like turned on by that as a woman, you feel kind of a weak man, you're not going to give yourself open to that. That portal for creation isn't going to open. It's going to be very short-lived. And you're going to start getting resentful. And so that further perpetuates a disconnection from kind of this core feminine essence and leaves us into a masculine overdrive. So I've seen women in their masculine who have control patterns partner with a man who's really trying hard to be a provider, and they absolutely will only give birth to boys. No shocker there. No surprise, right? That's unconscious contracts. Some of these are conscious, but that's because that portal was only primed for that level of energy to come through it. So you kind of talk about unconscious energy transfers. Sexual energy, if it's exchanged in a way that doesn't feel like safe, if your body didn't feel safe doing that, you will have a lot of imprintation in the material, in like the genetic material and the muscles and the fibers and the lining of the uterus that say, no, no. It's almost like you lose sensory awareness down there. It's massively blocked creation energy. There's could potentially also be a lot of soul contract agreements and karmic imprints. Like I wouldn't know unless I got into a single session with you. But again, I'm just like peeking kind of through the question to see the essence of this person who asked. And, there's many layers here. So there's also collective feminine wounding, which I've talked a lot about in sessions I did around the mother wound and the distorted feminine. The Divine Feminine Workshop is coming up in May. I'm going to cover all of this at length. I'm going to go over way more in depth, like the absolute patterns that causes all of this stuff. get them into the deprogramming backlog. If you've just listened to these meditations / podcasts, you've already started to unravel this for yourself, but we're going to deep dive into the patterns and the structure and the quantum implications of all of this so you guys can move into more creativity, more sexual exploration, etc. So if you have any kind of frequency of lack or internal seeking, if you have a disconnection from your core essence, if there is ancestral and epigenetic patterning that you need to clean up, if there's nervous system and trauma responses, if there's a lack of energetic discernment, if there's any kind of polarity imbalance, collective or societal programming that you have here, that is all going to influence your ability to be able to have an orgasm and receive pleasure. So there's definitely, these things can happen and correct themselves quickly. I have worked with many couples. Some of them I've had one session with and they've corrected everything. Others I've had a couple and they've moved into course correction of this, more alignment. But it's a very fascinating topic. I hope you enjoyed this series. Please consider leaving a review. They help me so much. They help get this content into more hands. Thank you for your patience on this podcast in terms of the delivery. And I'll leave the pattern superhero worksheet info in the notes as well. As always, you guys, keep noticing the details of your life. Keep expanding. Everything is available at tallymiller.com. Connect with me on social, and I will speak to you when I speak to you next. Take care.